Hey, thank you so much for joining me today in what's going to be a very important question, very important conversation with Therese Keenest. This is an important discussion because, frankly, life as we know it has become stale, routine, and if we're not really careful, we're going to run the risk of becoming a very mediocre society. My name is Bob Jenkins, and the idea of creating a powerful presence, to be honest, is pretty new to me, too. I've discovered it's a process with amazing benefits and that it's critical to have the right person by your side to wake you up to what's truly possible when you succeed at creating that powerful presence. But lucky for both you and me, we have that guide today with us in Therese Keenest. And Therese is a certified master coach, which means not only does she help individuals and companies through her radical leadership program, she also trains other coaches how to lead from their essence and impact their world in profound ways. She's been a leadership trainer for corporate teams like inside of IBM, Johnson & Johnson, General Electric, Tug Hill Corporation, and NASA, among many others. And she now reaches thousands of individual business owners and entrepreneurs, as well as professionals like you, through her radical leadership retreats and virtual programs like this conversation that we're having today. So as you can imagine, I am really excited to be able to introduce to you Therese Keenest. And Therese, welcome to the call.
Hey, Bob, it is so good to be with you, and thanks for such a powerful introduction, mostly from the standpoint of sharing that the information we have here today is radical information and that it's information that can actually transform mediocrity into excellence and maybe an average life into an outrageously successful and joyful life. So thanks for that.
Oh, you're very welcome. And having been able to experience radical leadership recently and just being in a mastermind with you, it's given me that opportunity to be shaken by the shoulders, basically, and say, you know, you're doing really good stuff, but you need to get to amazing. And I think that's really what's important about this conversation today.
Good. Well, and hopefully you're speaking from your own experience, right?
Absolutely.
Good. So where should we start today with these guides?
Well, I think what's helpful, since a lot of this is going to be new and some of this is going to be kind of fuzzy to them, can you just kind of set the stage mentally about how it's best going to be received? Because we're going to have a lot of information. We're going to have a lot of challenges, I'm assuming. And I'd like to just get a sense from you as to how should somebody be approaching this conversation? How should they be listening to what we're about to share?
Oh, good. I love that. Thanks. Well, actually, a couple of things. One, I'd like to take out the fact that it's complex because on one level, it's really a very simple, powerful distinction that we're going to bring to the call today, and that if people can see that, it will shift their lives, and they'll wake up to some things that they haven't seen before. Now, to actually best do that, what I'd like to do is actually have everyone join me by actually getting present, because what we're talking about is a powerful presence, which in my world means being present in our essence. And so one of the ways I help my clients really get present in their essence is to actually stop, and I'm going to ask everybody to do this with me, and stand, if you will. You know, if you're able in an office setting, you're not, don't worry about it, do it mentally. But if you're able to actually stand and place your right hand on your abdomen with your thumb just an inch below your belly button, and stop and just take a few deep breaths way down into your abdomen. And as you're taking those deep breaths, I just want to share with you and have you hear that there's no place to get to today. There's nothing perfect for you to hear. This isn't about fixing you because you're not broken. That these deep breaths actually take you and have you connect to yourself and bring you into this moment. And in this moment, there is nothing to do but be available, which means you don't bring a past of intellect or knowledge to this call. You're open, empty, available for just listening. And in that you can take what's valuable for you and keep it, let go of anything that doesn't. Don't take notes because that'll keep you in your head and actually unavailable to some extent. Clearly, if you, you know, have things to do, just let those go for now because this call is worth being present to. And if you are here, you will hear something that will shift your life. So just one more deep breath, and then we'll share things that will have value to you or they won't. There's no should, have to, ought to.
That feels really good to be ready like that.
Yeah. Well, it's about getting here, you know, in this moment. So, Bob, I thought what would be valuable today is maybe to give people a sense of what this call could lead to for them, to share a couple of quick stories about clients who have discovered this material and who have created awareness and used this to shift their lives. Or actually, they didn't use it to shift their lives. Their lives just shifted as a result. Would that be helpful? That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. And I think that, you know, from the look of who came on the call earlier today and the list of questions that have been coming in, it seems to me that it would be great if you could share those stories in relationship probably to a little bit about, you know, not only how it shifted their life, but also their business. We have a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of business people on the call, and I imagine that they're not just here because they want to enjoy life, but they also want to be more profitable in their life, have a more enjoyable experience with their families and their relationships, et cetera. So I'm really looking forward to how this has helped other people, and let's paint that picture for them.
Good. Well, thanks for giving me more of a context from your perspective because you broadened mine. The truth of the matter is I've actually identified two business stories that I'm going to share and speak from, but what I'd like to say around that as well is that while these are business experiences and transformations of sorts, that radical leadership in this material has transformed marriages, it has transformed relationships with children, it has totally transformed relationships, how people see themselves, how they relate to themselves. So it really applies across the board. But let me just start with one individual. So one person I'd like to share with you about is a business coach. And this business coach is actually someone that I hired to work with me. And they are really one of the most brilliant people I know and one of the most efficient and effective people I know. And yet they don't really know it yet. They hadn't really known how brilliant and amazing and powerful they were. So as a result of that, and it worked with me, I, you know, really got great value from them, but I didn't totally trust the material to implement it in the way they had encouraged me to do that. And one of the reasons was because they had a sort of a nice guy persona that they used to get by. So I didn't know if it was just nice information I was getting or it was powerful information or if they didn't call me forth to use it in powerful ways or challenge me or even hold me to account, which, of course, as a coach myself, that's really what we're up to, is really, you know, holding our clients to making things happen and creating possibilities. So, interestingly enough, I actually enjoyed working with them, got value, and then I went and hired another coach. And then I ended up sharing with them that I had hired this other coach and why. And they realized that through that they had not presented themselves in a powerful way. So this particular coach said, you know, I'm in on taking your course. So they came and took this information that really the information you're going to get in this call today, no different, maybe expanded to some degree, and they actually transformed their lives. When they when this individual went back to what they were doing, they got clear about their yeses and nos. They realized that they had been a nice guy instead of a stand for their clients. They started taking strong positions and stands for what they wanted from and for their clients and for themselves. The first week back, they made over $25,000 in just one day and have since generated the best business year that they've had so far, and it's only, October? And even more important, they're now in an amazing relationship, and they're enjoying what they're doing, and they don't have to be a nice guy anymore. So that person just really is alive and showing up differently. They've recreated their material, lost a lot of weight, and just excited about life now. And why? Because they actually realized that what they wanted was crucial and what they wanted mattered, and they could be a stand for it instead of, quote-unquote, looking out at others, being a nice guy, and selling out on themselves. So that's one. Is there anything else that would be valuable about that?
Well, I think it is very clear to me that being a similar person of, wanting to be the nice guy and a peacemaker, that when I learned what you teach, I came to realize that just being nice doesn't necessarily serve my client base well enough. It's not about being an asshole or a jerk or anything as the contrast. It's just about, it seems to be being a person who asks for what they want and is able to get it, not because of a particular set of demands, really, but just asking for it, being present in that moment, and through the secrets that you're going to be sharing a little bit later, just being able to embrace the process instead of it not even knowing that the process is there. It's just kind of getting into a flow, and this individual that you're talking about, able to discover that and able to not only have an effect professional life with income, but also, as you mentioned, personal life and enjoying better relationships and even losing weight, et cetera. So I'm really glad that you brought that up. Do you have another example from
I absolutely do. And then I have another client who came to me. And when they came to me, this is a woman who was a brilliant woman. She worked for a Fortune 100 company. She had actually just gotten her performance appraisal when she hired me, and she got the best score possible. She was a 1, which meant, you couldn't get any better than that. But she actually came to me because she was burned out, tired all the time. She had 2 years left at this organization to get to her 30-year mark and wanted to retire and get the heck out of there. And she was actually, when she came to me, was just trying to get by. She was just wanted to spend 2 years having me coach her to get through those 2 years. Well, she actually was introduced to this material, and when she woke up to these two different parts of her that I am going to share with you today that you should be able to see on this call, she actually just came vibrantly alive, realized that she not only didn't want to leave the organization, she actually wanted to bring this information to the company, and she actually was in HR, brought this to 90 of her team members, and started to transform the company through this information, and then the people who worked with her transformed their lives. As you may know, given our economy during some of this period, there was downsizing and outsourcing and cutbacks financially. She said she did more with less than she had ever done in her life, and that she got her best results in this company. She got the best results ever, and not only did she get the best results with fewer resources, but that, she said, is the most proud thing she has done with that organization. And not only that, she realized that her biggest legacy during those 30 years, and actually it turned out to be 33 because she stayed 3 more years instead of just getting by with 2, She realized that her greatest legacy was the last few years and doing this work and bringing this information to those individuals that she worked with. And now their lives are continuing to carry that throughout the organization.
That's really critical too, that this doesn't just impact our today, although it is based on how we are operating today, but it does affect our families, our companies we've been with. I used to be a high school teacher, so I know that, you know, things are still going on today that were put in place and put in motion back when I was there. And it's just kind of becoming aware that, that what you're doing matters, and that the choices you're making and the decisions you make just really make a difference for now and for the future. So I'm glad that you share those examples.
Well, I actually think about that, but then there was one other impact of her. One of the people that she brought it to, who is a PhD, a woman about 35, she transformed her life and became so happy and excited about what she was doing and creating what she wanted that I actually got an email from her mother thanking me. So this goes on and on and on, and it's really fun to be a part of. So I'd like to actually go there, you know, and what I want to do is create a context for what I'm going to share, which points to the fact that what I'm going to share with you is that we have two distinctively different parts. And I think when you hear this, each of you, you know, if you're like other clients or people have been introduced to this material, it's like as soon as they hear this, they know this has been true somehow, but they didn't know it. In other words, it hadn't been brought to the awareness and to the surface. And here's what's happening. Several years ago, actually 9 or 10 years ago in my coaching career, and I've been coaching now for 15 years, one of the key elements of coaching is what we call the voice inside your head. You know, I call that the trickster. It's that illusionist voice that has us, that is constantly saying, you're not enough, you're not doing enough, you should have to, ought to do things this way, you have duties, obligations, responsibilities, that was a stupid thing to do. You know, most of you can recognize that voice in you. And that's an important part of coaching, is to keep that voice surfaced and keep our eye on it at all times. Well, clearly I do that with my clients, but then one day I actually read that we had 14,000 thoughts a day. And when I read that, I thought, well, that's curious. If we have 14,000 thoughts a day, how many of those thoughts are trickster thoughts, or that voice inside our head constantly yapping away, telling us we're not enough? So I had my answer, but I got curious and I started to ask other people. Wherever I went, I shared about the trickster voice, and then I would introduce the 14,000 thoughts, and I would say, how many of those thoughts would you say are trickster thoughts? So I'd like each of you to actually think in your own, you know, mind, what is that for you? What is that number? And just get it, you know, just get it in your head and in your awareness. Well, for 3 years, I asked that question. It didn't matter if I was at GE with executives or giving presentations at the ICF with coaches or anywhere I went, actually, I asked that. And I, 3 years later, sort of woke up to the fact that there was one common answer, or one range, I should say, of how often that voice was running. So, Bob, what would you, I'm curious to know, what's the number inside your head?
At least 90%. I mean, it's just running nonstop, it seems like. And I would hope that it's not more than that, but I have a feeling, if I'm honest with myself, it is probably higher. But, yeah, I would say 90%.
Yeah, well, thanks for that, because as I went around, even with lay people, and I say lay people meaning not on the self-growth path, most people, honest to God, said 98% to 99.9%. I even worked with HR companies and organizations where I would introduce that, or with executives, and they go, oh, my God, that's what's running our company, or that's what's running my life, you know. So after 3 years of doing that, I really realized not only did people have such a high number, but, you know, what's the impact of that in the world, but also that they knew it. Like, it took me 3 years, you know, I'm a little bit of a slow learner, but, you know, it took me 3 years to wake up to the fact they know it. And yet, as I looked at that, I said, but they don't know it, because if they did know it, everything would shift. And that's really what I want to talk with you about today, is that what's the impact of 98 to 99% running, or really for you, whatever number you used. And I think one of the lowest numbers I've ever heard was 50%. But even at that, what is the implication in your life, and what are the results of that? You know, so looking at that, I realized we're like fish in water, you know, without running. We are actually inside that 98%, that voice inside our head, most of the time. And then I got curious, well, what is it that is the other 2%, or, you know, whatever small little dabble do you, what part of us is that? So I created, you know, what you could easily see is the distinction between our ego, which is that large percentage, and our essence, which is the smaller percentage, right?
Right.
So ego and essence, one thing that people generally default to, and it's actually the ego defaulting to this, is the ego thinks that these are good and bad, and they're not good and bad, they just are what they are. In other words, what's running is running, and then essence is available at all times. So what that means is ego is really the part of me that's always fearful and trying to survive. You know, that's all ego is trying to do. It's fearful and it's trying to survive. And at the same time, ego with some essence can be breathed in, can actually be the part of us that, you know, pays the mortgage, gets up in the morning, goes to a job every day. But as a general rule, when it's out of control, it's, as you know, that voice that's constantly taking us out at the knees. So ego is 98% of the time, and then there is essence. And essence actually is present in each moment. It doesn't have any past or future, which ego is very attached to, the whole past and the whole future. And ego isn't bad, because it's actually how we've evolved. It's what we've been, you know, raised in. It's how we have lived our lives without fully knowing that when we were out of our ego and into our essence, we were in the moment and we were whole and complete and resourceful and creative, and that we could have, you know, whatever we wanted out of that. We could create whatever we wanted out of that place of power, you know? So really what that's about is being, when we're in our essence, we are profoundly trusting ourselves, profoundly trusting the moment. And I say, you know, self, capital S. And not only profoundly trusting ourselves, capital S, but we actually are very gracious and understanding and can see ourselves, small s, you know, the ego part of us, with no judgment. Our essence has transcended dualism, good, bad, right, wrong, up, down, black, white. It just is what it is. So reality and essence is what it is. Does that make sense?
It does to a large degree, but let me ask you to, you know, kind of reemphasize this point, you know, because people are going to come away from this call, perhaps, if they were to hang up the phone right now and say, you know, I get that I should be living in the moment. I understand that. I've heard that before, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, I shouldn't be thinking in this in terms of ego because it's bad. Let's address that, because I remember thinking that when I was initially addressing or initially approached with this material. And I felt then that I had to use my brain to work myself into it. And I learned from you that there's a little bit more powerful way to approach this. Can you kind of touch on that? As what a person new to this might be thinking?
Well, thinking, what ego is trying to do is always to survive and control our environment and manipulate our environment and safe in ourselves. So even as you share, Bob, you're basically saying the minute you heard what I shared with you, that there's ego and essence, it was actually your ego or your mind that went to ego's bad. And of course it would, because we have been raised and culturized with that belief system, right? So since we're fish in water, that's where your mind's going to default. On one level, it's hardly going to matter how many times I tell you or share with you that there is no good, bad, right, wrong. Ego is not bad or good, because you're used to it being bad, and the mind wants you to believe it's bad, because the mind wants you to engage with it. So that's actually ego keeping ego running. Does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely.
So it's going to be a huge discipline to stay awake and aware, because fish in water, how does a fish know it's in water? You know, well, it really doesn't, except for a moment when it jumps out, and then it has an experience of not water. So when we're talking about essence right now, it's actually, I don't know when or why. And that's actually why, because what's running most of the time is ego, which means you're not powerful or present. You know, ego lives in a state of victimhood. And as a result of that, you know, what's going to happen is the fish jumps out of water, has an experience of not water, which is us jumping out of ego and having an experience of not ego, right, called, which we just give a random name called essence to. But then what's going to happen?
We're going to keep on coming back to it, because it's, you know, we're so used to it, and it seems to be a kind of a default status to be inside of our ego.
Absolutely. If you're a fish and you jump out of water and you have an experience of not water, you're going right back in the water. And if you are swimming around for a while in that water, pretty soon you're going to not remember that, or you're going to think it was a dream, or you're going to discount that you've ever had that experience. And so on one level, that's evolutionary-wise where we're at, is like we're fish in water, but here's the miracle. We now are having an experience of out-of-water essence, and we're starting to put more of those experiences together. And that's what consciousness and waking up is about. You know, having a series of those and then staying awake more and more and choosing them.
Gotcha. So real quick, a little side note, kind of a logistical one, and that is at some points during the last few moments, your phone was actually catching in and out just a little bit. I don't know if you're walking around in that beautiful home of yours or not, but just to be careful of that.
Okay, I am. And so I can stand still.
That would be great.
I get all excited and walk around.
I know you will. So that's why I wanted to call it to your attention, because I don't want us to miss that key nugget or multiple nuggets that you're sharing to help us really understand and then proceed. So
great.
Let's talk then a little bit more about this cultivating essence. So 98% of the time we've got the ego running around, and if this 2% is the not ego, can you explain a little bit more about what that looks like? You know, in our search for a powerful presence, I'm assuming that also means living within our essence as much as we can, and seeing the results of that.
Yes. Well, you know, a natural response would be, if I were trying to have you see the difference between ego and essence, I could easily say, and this would be a truthful statement and a not truthful statement, that when, and here's why I'm juxtaposing those. So when I am having fun, doing what I love, and realizing results, I could say with ease that I am in my essence. And I would be, you know, that would be a true statement. Where it's not a true statement is that I could actually still be in my essence, not having fun, not necessarily realizing results, and not necessarily doing what I love. But what would still be present if I were in my essence would be that I'm actually unattached to that. And I don't have to be in any state. I have a current or a river of contentment and happiness and power that lives below what I'm feeling. So another way to say that would be, for instance, that if we were to take 100% and say that 98% was the trickster or that voice inside our head or ego, that there's another 2% left. But that actually wouldn't be true, because what's true is there's actually 100% essence with a 98% cloud cover.
Mm.
See, that's radical for us to understand. That we are always in our essence, except when we are listening to the 98% and responding and reacting out of that, which is reactivity, for instance, would tell us that we're automatically in our ego, because in our essence, there's nothing to react to. Everything is, all is well. Everything is whole and complete, and essence has no judgments or opinions even about ego running. So what would be different in your life, for instance, Bob, when you could identify that quickly no matter what was happening? Do you have a sense of what would be possible for you?
Well, for one thing that comes to mind, and I guess that's the funny thing about this, I try to intellectualize it so fast.
Yeah, don't do that.
Right.
That's ego.
Right, but it's funny because now I've gone through some of your training, I catch myself doing that, which is remarkable. But just what's possible,
right.
It's seeing what's there as it is instead of trying to change it or try to judge it or try to correct it. Or try to improve upon it, instead of just, accepting what's there. And I find that in the relationships I engage in, whether they're new or they're older, the more that I just let things kind of flow, the more enjoyable the conversations and the experiences are, instead of, being inside my head and listening to something. And as soon as somebody says a sentence, I catch myself thinking, well, that was a weird statement, or their accent's kind of funny, or something else.
Right. Yeah.
And so just being there, and so you become a better listener, and you just have more powerful connections. And I find that to be true in my business and in my personal life right now. And I find that in the business sense, it's resulting in more customers wanting to come to see me and work with me, as opposed to having to chase them down or anything else. And just friendships growing or reconnecting with family members. It's just been an amazing experience.
Well, good. I so love that, because that's what is a common experience of this material and the insight that people have when they actually just start to own that they can choose out of ego and not have any opinions or judgments about ego when it's running. Just notice it. And so I'd love to. I'm looking at our time, and I mean, this is such a rich conversation. There's so many possibilities and places we could go, but I do want to make sure that I provide four disciplines or secrets and structures that are going to help people really get, choose out of their ego, but more importantly, to just move from their essence, okay?
That would be great.
Yeah, there are four secrets to having a powerful presence. And heaven knows there are more, but these are four access points, any one of which you could use as a portal to start moving into your essence more often. And one won't come as a surprise, I'm sure, which is to do what you love. It has two parts. One, it's to do what you love, and also to love what you do. do what you love and love what you do. Bring your full yes to whatever you're doing. So when I look in my own life, you know, one of the things that helped me discover this is I got curious when I had created success as a coach is, you know, how did I do that? And why did so many coaches have just 3 to 5 clients or, you know, make anywhere from 5 to 20,000 a year? And when I looked over, it was because I actually fell in love with coaching. Coaching is about awareness and choice to me, which I do believe is essence, and my job was to help create awareness. So I just fell in love with the profession. I fell in love with coaching. I fell in love with coaches. And you can guess that, you know, my competency developed out of that as well. So there was more and more mastery and more excitement and more creation out of that. And being out there excited about that had actually people come back to me. So interestingly enough, one of the places that you know, I got most of my business or even much of my business for a season was from coaches. They actually would refer me their friends and family. They'd refer me clients that they didn't dare work with because they didn't feel competent enough yet or had a specialty that they weren't going to work with. And so when we're doing what we love, we just, time passes quickly. We're in our essence. We are being, capital B, not the doing side, but being who we're designed to be. Because when we're doing what we love, we are coming from our essence. And that's one of the ways essence reflects itself in the world is being passionate and excited and engaged and inspiring. And both inspired. So if you're in your essence, you are inspired, engaged, and enrolled in what you're doing. And as a result of that, that's what you reflect out into the world. And then people respond to that. Make sense?
And it does. And certainly the antithesis to that is what a lot of people find themselves in, where they're not doing what they love, and then they wonder why their relationships at work kind of suck. Or they're not excited about what they're doing on a daily basis, and they wonder why their kids are not excited about, you know, telling their folks about why they're excited or not excited. You know, I had the chance to be at one of your retreats with a friend of mine who's a mom, and through this material, she came to understand that she was not, you know, doing what she loves, and that was affecting the connection she had with her son, and she wasn't embracing his ability to do what he loves. And so they were always at conflict. So this first secret, I think, is really powerful, and it reveals, you know, obviously just the first of the four, but it reveals how important it is for you as an individual, certainly for me as an individual, to ask that question of myself, you know, am I actually loving what I'm doing, or am I, you know, kind of doing it to go through the motions, or am I doing it just because somebody told me to? And I think this is really important and a key element to becoming, you know, more alive and more who we should be or who we are already.
Yes, well, and the gift is it's not only doing what you love, but it's also loving what you do. So, for instance, passion and excitement doesn't come from the outside and it doesn't come from the thing. It's generated from the inside out. So if I am doing anything and I notice that I don't like this and I'm resisting it or I'm reacting to it or I'm rebelling or I'm complaining, I can know I'm in my ego because that's what ego does is resist. And, of course, what we resist persists and actually grows stronger. So you don't want to resist things. You just want to bring presence to it, like, oh, wow, look at that. So then if you bring presence and you notice what you're doing in this moment, you can bring love to it and actually begin to love what you do, no matter what it is. So when I'm doing dishes, for instance, you know, my reaction is, get these dishes done, and oh, I hate having my hands in this water, and blah, blah. And then it's like all of a sudden I'll stop and just notice I'm complaining and whining, and then I'll start to do the dishes, and I'll start to have this, like, loving tenderness about having them clean and putting them away and having some structure and some organization and, you know, having a whole space for myself that's not cluttered or doesn't have, you know, trash in it, whatever it is. It's like, and then I actually love that instead of resisting it. And there's so many ways we could look at that. And I think some of them will be revealed in these next secrets as well. But I could go on about just that one forever. The next one is to ask for what you want and be unattached. Ask for what you want and be unattached. Well, that would presume that you would know what you wanted, which, by the way, most people do not, because we have not cultivated a society or a culture of knowing what you wanted. We actually have told people, ego has said, that's self-centered and selfish, you know. Spend all your time looking at what everybody else wants. And, of course, that's where our problem lies, because while we're doing that, we are betraying ourselves. And so a powerful thing is to start to notice what you want and ask for it. You know, and that could be big things or little things. It could be for somebody to turn on a light. It could be for someone to make a meal. It could be for someone to mow your lawn. It could be a client to give you a ton of business. It really doesn't make any difference the size. It only matters that you are noticing. And here's where you want to ask for what you want from essence. Because if you ask from essence, you'll have exponential impact and you'll be a compelling invitation. If you ask for what you want from ego, because ego is about surviving and trying to get by and about controlling and manipulating, ego, when you ask for what you want, will demand. So in other words, it will sort of threaten that you give the person what they want. And, of course, I don't know if what your experience is, but if somebody demands something from you, how do you respond?
Certainly not going to that yes right away, that's for sure.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, you know, if you're like me, I actually resisted even if I wanted to give it to them, because now it's a demand. And you can know that happens from ego, that people will resist it as compared to essence. People will look at the option and they'll actually want to support you in whatever way they can, whether they want, you know, whether they're able to or not, they'll want to. And they'll look for an opening to do that. There's a nuance in that, too, that's actually internal, which means, if I demand things from myself, like, I don't know if you're like I am, but if my, you know, not if, when my ego's running, because we know it's always running, except when I choose to not have it run, or bring awareness, I get up in the morning with a should have to ought to list. And, you know, I'm constantly like, you got to do this, you haven't done that, you should do this. And the more I demand that from myself, it's a fascinating thing, the more I resist myself. And then I don't get it done because I go into internal rebellion without even realizing it. So I rebel against myself. I react against myself and my own should have to ought to list. And we do that to others. So that's powerful. And then the third is to not take anything personally. So our ego takes pretty much everything personally, because in ego, everything's about us, right? If somebody looks at us wrong, it's we take it personally. If somebody cuts in front of us in traffic, you know, I can bring that in. I take it personally. I live in a beautiful small resort town, and in the summer, everybody's jaywalking, and there's only one way through town, so I take it personally when they're in my way. I take it personally if clients say, no, this is important for business, you know, and when I take it personally that somebody's a no or they blow by me or they're not a yes yet and I've asked them 10 times, then the response is that I actually get stubborn, I get resistant, I exclude them from my life, and then certainly I don't ask them again, which can cost me a lot of business, because success in business actually is from being persistent and believing in what you're doing, you know? So a place that that's made a huge difference for me is you know, I'm asking people all the time, Bob, I think you could even speak to this. I think you could speak to this. How many times I would, like, say, you know, in our mastermind group, people would be talking about their problems or where they're running into problems, and I go, radical leadership. And pretty soon they thought I was just obnoxious. But I was like, I don't care if they think I'm obnoxious. I'm not going to take it personally because I know it's possible for their lives. So why would I ever quit asking them, right?
That's right. Yeah, I mean,
and
everybody.
And what would you say about my having been obnoxious and the other two people from our mastermind?
Right. Well, the persistence pays off for you, but it doesn't matter to you directly, although it, I know that it hurts your heart to some degree when people say no when it's right in front of them. Like, I'm putting this on you. I'm making it up, obviously, about you, but I get the sense for me when I have something really important that I think would help and transform somebody's life or their business, and they keep saying no, I want them to have it because I know what it's going to impact them about.
Yeah.
And so when you were you know, either under your breath or sarcastically saying, you know, that you have that solution if they just would, you know, wake up to it, and you're trying different ways to get it into to plant the seed, for me, I certainly went through the training that you have more in depth and came out of it the other side understanding why you're so passionate about letting people know about it, because it is critical to become more aware of what's happening because of the impact that it has, and just because we deserve to have a better life than what we live if we're in that sense of mediocrity and don't know it. You know, that's kind of the water to most people, I think, that they are living mediocre lives. They become aware of it a little bit, and they kind of dip back down in it. And what you're sharing with people gets them into not only the awareness, but then what's possible on the other side of it. And that's why it's so important to pay attention, to not take it personally, but also to just see that there are things that are important. And in order to get that difference, in order to get to that amazing level, you have to be willing to basically challenge the way you're operating, to be aware and to question things and to take, you know, some training from you, to take some kind of opportunity where somebody can look at what you, Therese Keenis, are saying and what you're about, what you can reveal to people, and be open to it. And not let ego stand in the way and say, this will never work for me, or my life is different, or I will never be able to get permission from somebody else to take advantage of it, or whatever the case is. You got to just be open and be willing. And really thank you for being
persistent. And if I may just speak to this quickly, is when I don't take anything personally, I can be a stand for someone's life without being frightened. And in knowing I'm a stand for their life and not for my own ego and not for my own purposes, then I'm always in service of them, even if they don't know it at the time. So that's why that's so powerful, is because then I don't mind continuing to be a stand and asking for what I want, but also putting in place all of these principles, not being attached either if they're a no. It doesn't mean anything to me that they say no, except they don't know yet. And they're not ready, or it's not time, and that's okay. So the fourth one that's a great access point is to quit trying to look good, trying to get things perfect, and trying to do things right. So, you know, quit trying to look good, do things right, or do things perfectly, because, of course, that's ego's huge image management. And ego's a way of trying to survive is to manage image, control the environment, manipulate, and I don't mean that judgmentally, I just mean from default, move people around to get what it wants because it doesn't know how to be straight. I thought about a great story here is I recently had one of my colleagues, and she had her 2-year-old daughter with us, and we were having ice cream at Culver's, and Jennifer said, you know, I have to go potty. And so I said to her, Mom, I'll take her. And so we go in there, and all she does is play with the water, and we dance together, and we talk together. And, you know, we go back to the table, and Mom says, did you go potty? And I said, no. And she goes, well, I said, no, we did everything but, and she started laughing. She goes, well, she's learned that if she says potty, we'll give her our attention. You know, and we all are like that. We learned all sorts of manipulative, secretive ways to get attention, and we can just be straight, you know. So when we're busy, by the way, trying to look good, be right, and be perfect, where are we looking, Bob?
Definitely inside that ego.
Inside the ego, but what we're not doing is looking internally at what's true for us. We're looking over at others to see how they will respond or what they think. And the minute I do that, the minute I go over to make someone else happy, it's very possible that I could be abandoning my own sense of honoring myself and doing what I'm called to do or compelled to do or want to do, and instead I do what they want me to do. And then when they don't like me anyhow, right? I mean, who's ever perfect? Or whoever is liked by everybody? You know, people don't like us anyway. So it's really about giving that up and allowing yourself to be actually imperfect, because there is no such thing as perfection, and going internally, you know, and being true to yourself and honoring yourself. And then out of that will flow honoring other people. It'll be a natural outflow, ease and flow. So those are four secrets. And again, I could have a call on each of them. I could have a day on each of them. But they are four different ways that you can begin to access your essence and begin to cultivate a powerful presence. Because when you are grounded and centered in yourself, when you are not trying to manipulate or get anywhere or control or manage your image, you're actually already brilliant. And, you know, there's a saying that that we're one in a million, you know, or you're one in a million is a common statement. But the truth of the matter is that you're actually one in 1.7 billion. There's nobody else like you in the world. There never has been, and there never will be. So if you are selling out on yourself, there is a reflection of our Creator that we will never get to see. And with that, I'd really love to introduce Brilliance Branding, which is our next steps from this call for learning to honor your own brilliance and really live out of that centered self. Can I share some stuff about that?
Yeah, please do so, because I know that, you know, this conversation that you and I are having has been, you know, critical to opening the door, but we would both be, you know, full of malarkey if we said that you could listen to this hour and you would never have to do continual education on it or continual work on it. So please do. I know that people who work with you more closely get a tremendous benefit. We have a lot of those people actually on the call now. I can actually see who's on the line, and I see some familiar names and faces, some people I've come to really love and admire who have come through your training or have been participants in different programs of yours. So please do share Brilliance Branding, which I think is going to be pretty powerful for those to take advantage of it.
Yes. Well, we're excited about it. Now, here's the thing. I just created that in honor of this call and my commitment to have people own their essence and live out of their powerful presence and really fall in love with themselves and show up in the world reflecting their essence and creating what they want. And you, as you know, our Radical Leadership program is a considerably higher price point. So I wanted to find a way for people to continue this path, take the next steps, and really begin this journey. So Brilliance Branding is created to do that. We actually created a great program that we're going to deliver between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And one of the reasons we were excited about that was because, you know, I'd like you to imagine, each of you, you know, that between Thanksgiving and Christmas, you actually took this program, began to live more powerfully out of your center and your essence, started to create more of what you wanted, and your family got to see you between Thanksgiving and Christmas, sort of the before and after, because I know that happens with all the people who, I would have to say all, or certainly most, who attend our program. In fact, the last program, somebody said, you should take before and after pictures, So we've created a quick start program, which is starting soon, and we're going to deliver it starting November 29th on a Monday. We're going to hold 2 one-hour segments a week on a Monday and on a Thursday for 3 weeks, and we're going to jumpstart the program and kickstart it with a bonus call on the 22nd. So here's what that looks like. We originated with a price point of $797, and what that includes is the six course segments on brilliant branding, and it also includes a DISC personal profile as a bonus, and a coaching call to help deepen your understanding of your DISC personal profile. The DISC personal profile is a behavioral style that talks and helps people understand what their natural tendencies are. And why that's really important is because when you are coming from your natural tendencies and your preferences style-wise, you are actually energized and energizing others. If you are doing things outside of your natural style, you certainly can do them, but they are things that would actually take your energy. So it's important for people to design their lives around their natural talents and abilities. And so it would be the DISC personal profile and a coaching call to help deepen your understanding of how to apply and use that style and leverage your style naturally out in the world. And as well, we are including in that the Kickstart call, which is going to be held on the 22nd, which will be more powerful questions and answers to this original conversation, as well as some exercises that are going to help you get started on this path. So we are offering today $300 off that $797 price, which makes it $497. Let me repeat again that with that, there's not only the $300 off if you sign up by Sunday, the 31st, Halloween, but that also you get the personal coaching call and the DISC personal profile to go with that as an extra bonus. And just those two actually are equal the price of the course. And then the Kickstart call as well. Did I cover that all?
I think so. The one thing that I'm sure you listening, you're wanting to know is where the heck do I go to sign up for this? And you're going to want to go to brilliancebranding.com, brilliancebranding.com, and that's BRILLIANCE, branding.com. You're going to see a lovely photo of Therese Keenis on the left and her lovely partner in the business, Cindy Holtfrader, who I've met as well. She's a dynamic coach in her own right. And the two of them are going to guide you through that process of discovering, what is that essence in you and how can it apply to the relationships in your personal life and in your professional life so that, you don't have to maybe live in a dichotomy of a world. A lot of people have their work life and their personal life and they try to keep them separate, and perhaps that works for you. But when you live out of your essence, everything is going to change. And having Therese and Cindy at your side guiding you through this process, as well as the other certified radical living and radical leadership coaches who will help you in those personal calls, you're going to be amazed at what that life will be like, between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I love this, Therese, that you're scheduling it during that time period because, whether somebody is a Christmas person or a Hanukkah person or a solstice person or a non-person, and when it comes to holidays, maybe New Year's is your thing where you'll see people, you likely will have this opportunity to see the same people between, mid-November and the end of the year. And when they see the transformation that's happening in you and how you carry yourself, they're going to take notice, and I think that you're going to really be pleased how that changes the way they treat you and how you operate and how you get the things that you want. And that would be the only other thing I would add to it. I would also add that I know that I did have that conversation with you earlier today, Teresa, of kind of twisting your arm and bringing that investment down. The investment in radical leadership is quite significant, as you said, and it's, you know, a few months away. So being able to bring this to people virtually so they don't have to travel and they can really get moving on this before February when your next RL is great, but they do need an access code, a little secret code in order to get that.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So on the page, as you see at branding at brilliancebranding.com, when you go to register, you're going to be given the opportunity as you click through to have a special code up in the top right. So what is that code, Teresa, that they're going to need in order to get $300 off?
It's going to be BBVIP, so that's Brilliance Branding, Very Important Person, BBVIP.
Excellent. So BBVIP, you'll put that in that special code box up in the top right, and as you do so, clicking apply, you'll see the page magically changes and you will have that discount, and you'll just need to fill out the rest of the information to get registered. Now, this price is only good until winter, so that we make sure that they get
Sunday the 31st. We want to give people an opportunity to get signed up for that. And, you know, we created this to support this call in the next level of learning. I don't know that we'll be doing it again, but I know it'll be tremendously valuable, and it'll be a tremendous portal to living in your essence. One other thing, Bob, I really wanted to ask individuals to please share with us your questions and your comments. I think you created a space for that, and I would love to hear from everyone about what worked here, what they want to know more about, and how I can be in service of them. Because I've taken a stand in the world for having essence as compared to ego. And that's my purpose in the world, and a lot of people, my whole team and a number of others, and I invite you to join in creating a world where we have essence instead of ego, and instead of command and control and manipulate, we actually are fluid and in the moment and present and ready and available to create.
Very cool. So, yes, you do see that box there in the queue that says Q&A, basically. Some of you have already submitted some questions. In a moment, we may have a chance just to take one or two, but what we will be able to do is compile them together, and then Therese and some of her team will be able to respond more clearly to them in the follow-up email. Since you registered for this call, you do have the ability to get the replay. We're going to be sending that out to you. And then a little bit of time from now, as the thoughts are collected around the questions, we can send that as a compiled answer to you. If you want a more personal response, you can use your put your email address into that box. This is only, of course, during this live call. Once the call is in the replay stage, this is gonna that Q&A box is gonna disappear. But if you would like that personal response from one of the Radical Leadership team members, please make sure that you put in your email address and your full name in your response. Okay.
Yeah, and so, we are going to send this only to the people. We're going to send a recording, Bob, right, to the people who have signed up. I invite you to please share this with the people you love and let them listen in and get into conversation and dialogue about what this means for your lives or how you see it in one another or how it may be impacting you. You know, just take this information and play with it and have it become a part of you.
Absolutely. And it's really critical. You know, I'm pretty new to this, as I mentioned to you before, but I'm a little further ahead of it than you listening. So I just want to encourage you, whatever your thoughts may happen to be right now, recognize that if there has been some moments throughout this call where you've heard Therese speaking directly to you, you've had this concept in your mind that you know that there's something you just can't quite put your finger on, that you know that there's something more that's ready for you, but you can't get out of your own way. You can't get the space and the time in your life to really, you know, dive into this a little bit more. Take this opportunity between, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's going to be a little bit of a hectic time, so it's really important that you have somebody like Therese and Cindy on your side to guide you through this kind of development and to not push it off any further. You know, some people wait till the New Year's and they make resolutions about how they're going to make differences and changes and live more powerfully at that moment. Well, that's really procrastination coming in. I would hate for you to delay this amazing life that you can be leading by waiting until later, because number one, this program won't happen later, and number two, you just, I think, will be better served having this relationship with Therese and Cindy and connecting with what your essence can be, what it is, and becoming more aware and awake to the possibilities that are there right there in front of you. So I encourage you to go to brilliancebranding.com and join this program. Remember that BBVIP discount code so that your investment is a little less, and you can use that for other things that you would like to purchase this time of year. Go ahead, Therese.
So, folks, thank you for being here today. I really value your time, and I hope that I brought you tremendous value and bless you. Thanks for being here.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to go ahead and unmute the line so we can say a quick goodbye. If you have enjoyed this call, please share your energy with a quick thank you to Therese, and I look forward to seeing you on that other side of becoming more brilliant in your essence. So I've unmuted the lines. Thanks again for being here, and thank you, Therese, for being such a great guide on this journey that we're all on.
Thanks, Bob. You're great. Goodbye, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.